Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Well, every other week here on the show, we hear from Mark Leonard as he talks about one film during his On the Mark segment. Well, this week, we are very fortunate to be joined in studio by Mark so we can take an overall look at 2014 in film. It is a pleasure to welcome to the show the aforementioned Mark Leonard. Mark, welcome.
Thank you, Ed. Great to be here to talk about more than one film for once.
Some of these you've talked about on the show in past weeks, but it is good to go through some of these films again. And let's start with one that really caught my attention, and that is Boyhood.
Perfect place to start, because I think that that is maybe the film of the year. Maybe Boyhood is going to win Best Picture this year. Boyhood seems to have captured both the critics and the audiences. It's a very populist film. It's gotten an awful lot of attention since Sundance, which is already almost a year ago. And it opened in the summer, and it's just coming to home video now. I think it's going to gain an even wider audience. It could be one of those rare films that actually wins Best Picture of the Year at the Academy Awards at a time when it's already on DVD and everybody's watching it at home. So I think Boyhood, the process of Boyhood is something people seem to be in love with. The 12 years, L.R. Coltrane, you watch him grow from 6 to 18 years old. People are in love with that. Now, personally, I think Richard Linklater, the director, and I even mentioned this in my review a few months ago, has done better things. His Before series, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, Before Midnight, that to me is the epitome of his talent and the top thing that he's done. But I gotta say, Boyhood is pretty darn good. And if it wins Best Picture, it will not be a bad choice.
The next one I want to bring up is one that I actually enjoyed very much, and that is Whiplash.
I'm glad you're talking about Whiplash, because I know you happen to be a big J.K. Simmons fan. I like J.K. Simmons, too, and I think he is going to win. At this juncture, things can change, the odds change, like in anything, but I think he's going to win Best Supporting Actor. And I got to tell you, I think he deserves it. Now, he's the music teacher in Whiplash. People who have seen it have really taken to him. He's ferocious. He's almost like a drill sergeant. I would say he's more of a drill sergeant than a music teacher. My only problem with Whiplash, the film, is it's a bit over the top for me. You know, when it gets down to the point of the drummer's got the bloody hands and he's in a car accident, and the only thing that seems to matter is that he gets the music right. I think it goes a little bit overboard. It's a little bit too flamboyant. But I cannot fault J.K. Simmons' performance. I think it's one of the best of the year. And I think right now he's got to be considered the frontrunner for Best Supporting Actor. I think he's going to win.
Next on our list, Guardians of the Galaxy. And what jumps out to me about this film, it is and remains the highest domestic grossing picture of the year.
Yeah, and it may end up staying that way. A couple films that could overtake it at this point. I guess The Hunger Games, the latest episode of that, could overtake it. And maybe The Lord of the Rings, that would probably be the top contender. The Hobbit, I should say. It's now The Hobbit, although I like The Lord of the Rings much better. But yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy was a game changer for Marvel. They really took a risk with it, and they felt like, okay, well, this isn't Iron Man. This isn't the Hulk. This is a whole new cast of kooky characters, talking raccoon, a talking plant. You know, how's this going to go? Went great. 3D, IMAX, people ate it up. It made a lot of money domestically. It made a lot of money worldwide. Will it be a Best Picture contender? I don't know. In this time where we have 10 nominees, up to 10 nominees now, I guess it's got a shot. I don't quite think it's going to get in there, but it's certainly been a success for Marvel, and it's certainly going to be up for a bunch of technical awards, special effects, sound effects editing, things like that. So it's going to be a contender at Oscar time for those things, but it's just been a big success story for Marvel overall.
Now, there's a film right now that is in my living room next to my television on my DVD player waiting for me to watch it. And it is a movie that when I speak to people who have seen this in theaters, some think it's great. Some are like, well, what's the big deal? And that film is Birdman with Michael Keaton. Now, does he make the film? The concept is an interesting one. Why the difference in the audience reception? And the critics do love this film.
Critics absolutely adore it. And I'm a little bit mystified by it. For one thing, the movie's kind of hard on critics. It takes some shots at critics and how they perceive things and how, you know, a critic, which I think is unfair, can't do. And that's why they critique. But people, I think, have really taken to the Michael Keaton comeback, the connection to Batman, of course. I mean, that's the obvious thing right there. And yeah, the audiences have been divided. I've talked to quite a few people who've loved it and quite a few people who've hated it. Critics that I've read overall have adored it. But then again, a couple of my favorite critics really didn't like it very much. So it's been a polarized audience. It's been split. But overall, I'd have to say the opinion is very high. I kind of like it myself. I'm not in love with it. I always do a top 10. I'm going to do a top 10 at some point this month. I do not think it'll make my top 10, but it's something that I enjoyed very much. I think Birdman is kind of fun, but not exactly great.
And just so people understand, I didn't buy it from a bootleg person out on the street anywhere. As a SAG-AFTRA member, I get sent these for the SAG Awards, but that's a whole other story for another day. Now, the next on the list is the film that Mark says is his favorite artistic film of the year, Under the Skin.
Now, Under the Skin is a really tough sell. A lot of critics have adored this film. It's won a lot of competitions worldwide. It is avant-garde. It is esoteric. It's difficult for a lot of people to watch. When they watch it, sometimes they say, what did I just watch? It's the kind of thing that critics like myself or people who are into film like myself get accused of, oh, you've got your heads in the clouds liking these kind of films. But I really think if people just paid attention and listened and watched, slowed themselves down a little bit and tried to absorb it, they just might get it. They should give themselves more credit. I think it's maybe the best film of the year. It would probably make my number one when my top 10 officially comes out. And I think it's a very small film that not a lot of people have seen. You can Netflix it now. You can rent it. Take a look. Maybe you'll like it.
Next will be the film that Mark says is his favorite mainstream film of the year, Edge of Tomorrow. Why?
Well, you know, when people ask me about what my favorite of the year is, sometimes I try to split it up. Now, Under the Skin, of course, is the avant-garde film. Mainstream film? I really think Tom Cruise and Doug Liman, the director of Edge of Tomorrow, didn't get enough credit for making what I thought was the best blockbuster of the year. People described it as a kind of a combination of Groundhog Day mixed with Aliens or Starship Troopers, and that really was what it was. A guy kept living the day over and over again until he got things right and beat the aliens. It was a lot of fun. It was smart. It had a sharp script. I think it was Tom Cruise's best performance in years, a very physical performance. And it did make a decent amount of money domestically and worldwide. I think it should have made more. It was underrated by audiences, but it had a great word of mouth, and it kept making more and more money till it crossed the $100 million mark, and I think it's a terrific movie. Another one that you could rent at home.
Two more that we'll touch on, Foxcatcher and The Theory of Everything.
You know, Foxcatcher is maybe one of the better American films this year. Bennett Miller directed it. He directed Capote, which got a lot of attention. The late Philip Seymour Hoffman won Best Actor for that. He directed a few years ago one called Moneyball with Brad Pitt, which was also terrific. I think it was maybe even better than Capote. Foxcatcher, maybe his best film. It's got a bunch of terrific performances, and I think maybe the only competition for J.K. Simmons is Mark Ruffalo, who I think was a tremendous actor in the film. And, you know, all the attention seems to have gone to Steve Carell, who's very good, but a lot of it's been about his nose. He's got a prosthetic nose in it. He looks different. He changed his face for the role. People sometimes focus on that a little bit too much. A great performance doesn't necessarily mean you change your appearance. I like Steve Carell in the movie. I think that he's very good. Channing Tatum is very good, somebody who's just known for being a pretty boy. But I think the standout in the film is Mark Ruffalo. I think it's a terrific movie, and I think that's J.K. Simmons' only competition, Mark Ruffalo for Best Supporting Actor.
Now, when we look back at the year as a whole, who is somebody that you might say had a standout performance, and who is someone that may have had a breakout performance for the year?
Well, I think the breakout performance for the year is maybe the Theory of Everything with Eddie Redmayne as Stephen Hawking. And I say that because it's another one that depends a lot on imitation, depends a lot on not exactly prosthetic devices, but he has ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and they put him in a wheelchair. Again, it's something that people maybe focus on too much when it comes to great acting, but I think he's pretty good in it. I'm not very crazy about the film. I think it's a little bit too sophomoric, actually. But Redmayne is going to get a lot of attention come Oscar time. I believe he will be up for Best Actor. So maybe that's one that you could say is the big breakout performance of the year.
Now, when it comes to Oscars, and we're going to do a huge Oscar preview as we get a little bit closer, is this a year where there is one film that is standalone from everything else that, you know, that's where all of the awards will go? Or is it going to be mixed up a little bit where maybe there's a film that we really haven't given a lot of credence to, a lot of attention to, that may really show itself on Oscar night?
You know, it's funny. A few months ago, if you had asked me, would Boyhood win Best Picture, I would have said no. I was pretty certain it was going to be nominated. Now I think it's got a darn good shot at winning. Will it dominate to the point where it'll overtake the entire Oscars? I don't think so. I don't think there's enough in there that it's going to win, let's say, 8 awards. Patricia Arquette has been mentioned for Best Supporting Actress. I think she's got a darn good shot of winning. Ethan Hawke is very good in the film, but I don't think he's going to overtake J.K. Simmons or Mark Ruffalo. So I think it'll win a healthy amount of awards, if indeed it does win. There's still time where the odds could change. But I think Boyhood would be the slight frontrunner right now in a year where there's no outstanding frontrunner that people at this point are definitely going to say is going to win it all. Last year you had 12 Years a Slave. Everybody was pretty certain that that was going to win Best Picture, and it did. This year we don't have the film that's quite doing that. Birdman is maybe the underdog at this point. Some people think that could threaten Boyhood. I don't quite think so, but I think right there, those are your two films, Boyhood and Birdman. Maybe Michael Keaton wins. Maybe for the big comeback, he gets Best Actor. We'll see. I think some of it's still a crapshoot, but things are starting to tighten up a little bit more.
So there you have it as we go through 2015. As all the stuff rolls down in terms of everything film, Mark will be here for you to cover it all. You can check out Mark's amazing online home, and if you haven't done so, do yourself a favor. ReviewedByMarkLeonard.wordpress.com. Definitely check it out. Mark, thanks so much for stopping by today.
Thank you, Ed. Glad to do it.
Stay with us. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. 8-year-old Chris and his father attended an outdoor gun show. At the shooting range, Chris was anxious to shoot an Uzi machine gun for the first time. As his father watched, the staff provided instructions. But as Chris pulled the trigger, the Uzi's recoil was so violent, he accidentally shot himself and died instantly. The gun show promoter was charged with involuntary manslaughter. How do you think this case turned out? The final verdict after this.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
The jury found that the gun show promoter was not directly responsible, and therefore the verdict was not guilty. And that's the final verdict.
Welcome to American Biker Minute, the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. When our fearless leader surmised the world was running out of oil, speed limits are shifting. Will this make our interstates any safer? Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. For decades since cages were locked bumper to bumper doing 55 miles an hour, cars have evolved to be way more efficient. Gas plunged. Interstate cagers nationwide are pushing 10 over, not 5. With western states leading the way, Idaho and Wyoming popped 80, Montana considering 85. A 40-mile run of toll road Texas Highway 130 posts 85 straight through. Interstates are close to requiring the motorcyclist to purchase an overdriven 6-speed motorcycle transmission. American Micro Minute, your passport to the open road.